the whole system was just what they learned. Maybe it was he was
Kum lernen a blat gemara. Daf kuf yud gimel. We'll actually have it in the beginning of the gemara before the as well. Daf kuf yud gimel amud aleph. So the gemara. So we finish the discussion how a husband, how you know a husband yashins his wife ahead of everybody else, ahead of even of her children. So the gemara. What does the gemara say? Here we go. Amar Rabbi Yechon, middle of the page, Kufyukim Lamar Aleph, Rabbi Yechon said, Amar Rabbi Yanei, Rabbi Yanei, Amar Rabbi, 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 Umotu, Ba, others, bring it, Mashmeid, Rabbi Shurban Karcha, Rabbi Shurban Karcha. Fascinating, Taisi, we'll digress for 1 minute. Who in the world of Shurban Karcha? Look at Taisi, Umotu, Rabbi Yud Karcha. Oimari, the Ri holds, the Kar, which is like a Rashi in the Gemara as well, Karcha was Rabbi Kiva. Shahoya Kerach, he was bald. All the Chacham in the world are compared to me, like the Shalachs, the peel of garlic. Chutz min HaKerach has accepted his baldy, his father-in-law. Oh, see what I mean? Very good. Ben, and he had a son, Sheshma Yeshua. We know Rabbi Kiva had a son called Yeshua. How do we know that? Kerem Yeshua's. Om Yeshua Benoy, Yeshua Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva. However, they need Rabbein Tam. Rabbein Tam says no. Then he the Benazai the Kamali Hachi. True, Benazai said that. Beloshen Bedichas. He was saying it in a humorous way. Chas v'sholem shoy lalus leshem hashum kerches the Gnayu. Chas v'sholem the Gemara will call him the Baldy. Rabbi Shua, the son of the Baldy. K'may al karach Baldy became bald. Peirik shoyil the Amalei Ahu Guzol Rabbi Shua mahocha lekachino kamahave. From here to Kachino, how much is it? He was making pong fun of him. Because he was bald. He himself was bald. So he said, can't be. And then he goes further. But furthermore, the Amrina, we say, Peri Basin Megillah, Shor Rebbe is Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. Rebbe once asked Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, and according to you, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Rabbi Kiva's son, what's the trick? Why you live such a long life? And then he told him, he was the first one in Shul, Omele Rebbe Barcheni, he said, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, give me a bracha. And Taisel will say in a minute that Rebbe was 60 years old at the time. He should reach half my age. If he's already 60, that means Rabbi Shimon Karcha will be 120. Can't be. What's the bracha? It has to be. Rabbi Shimon Karcha has to be a lot older than that. Rabbi Akiva, he was 40 years old when he married Kalba Savua. We know he married this other woman. We learned a few days ago he married that Roman woman when he left. But he was much older than. He married Kalba when he was 80 years old. They're 40 years old. But Oz Hoyakiva Ben Abayim Shalom, 40 years old. Kedatanya Abayim Shalom, Oz Hoyakiva Ben Abayim Shalom, Oz Hoyakiva Ben Shalom, 40. The Chol Yom Kuf Chav Shana, Rabbi Kiva lived 120 years. He said, literally, yes, I'm giving you a bracha, you should live at least half my life. At least, but not die before then.
Not die even at that stage.
Maybe. And even if Rabbi Shua was born the day that Rabbi Akiva got married at 40 years old, Akati Lohoya Kim Ben Pekin Rebbe. We know Rebbe was born when Rabbi Akiva passed away. That means Rabbi Shua Karcha was 80 years old when Rebbe was born.
Assuming he was born on the day that
we know they were. The year, that year. No. Assuming Rabbi Shua Karcha was born that day. You're right. So therefore, Rebbe was 80 years old when Rebbe was born. Rebbe was 60 years old when he came to Shurban Karcha and asked the bracha. It means that Shurban Karcha was 140 years old. 140, he was a pretty old man. But half of 140 is 70. He was 60 at the time, so that's a big bracha. You live the normal age of 70 years old. And 70 is the Meshach Hashem Hashanah. It's like a Namabshah bracha. But it doesn't mean that, right? You mean literally. Which means that Shurban Karcha could not be Rebbe Kiva's son. That's what we're trying to prove. Don't be paid by asking Lucian. Actually, Messiah, but Kiva Noyle Rabbein HaKadosh. Rebbe was born before Kiva passed away. You pochas the Meva, Boim Lahoy Rabbi Shua, Kishbez Rebbe, had to be, if so, had to be at least 140. The pochas Meshivim Lahoy Mavorchai. You think you would give a bracha, should be less than 70 years old? It'll be a curse, not a bracha. Yemeshon is saying the Behem Shivim Shana, and he's saying he only lives 68. Ukvar Hoy Rebbe Meshisha Shana, Rebbe was 60 when he asked him. He doesn't say how he knows Rebbe was 60 years old when he asked him the question. Umrabachi, Zulu Varchas Hashanim. Right. Furthermore, the Svar, it makes sense. Right. It makes more sense that as soon as they got married, he went to yeshiva. So one night he lived together, and then he left a son behind for 24 years. We can't imagine a father would leave a son behind for 24 years. We're assuming he didn't have many children when he went to yeshiva. That means when Rabbi Shua was 140 years old, Rabbi was already 84, not 60.
Shehu yaitzim mechatzi yamav. It would have been old, more than half. So what's the bracha? Now this is interesting. Shemotze bereishis rabba. The chutz min hakerech is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. When Ben Azariah said, everyone is smarter than me, except this baldy. He wasn't referring to Rabbi Kiva. He would never. That was his father-in-law for a while. He was referring to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Kiva was learning from them. He might have been the same age as Rabbi Azariah. Rabbi Azariah was 18 years old and became a Nasi. Rabbi Kiva started at 40. You know, it could be.
But Rabbi Kiva was
already.
Yeah, but Rabbi Kiva was shy
to consider him to be instead of. That's right, Ben Gadim. So he was the same age.
Exactly. So he
yeah. Name of a person, not Rabbi Kiva. Even though many times I talk about this is the Tosfos that discusses Barichas. Let's go back to Gemara. You think so?
I don't know. The only other name I know that sounds like this, looks like this, is spelled like this.
Yeah, then Karcha, okay.
Is that story with Rabbi Shuan and Rabbi Amriel? So it was really after Rabbi Kiva lost to his Talmidim, because who was one of the Talmidim?
Rabbi Shemichai.
The second set of Talmidim that he was.
Yeah. So you're right. Take him right. Back to the Gemara. Okay, that was just a digression.
Yeah. Isn't Baldwin because of the monks used to shave the top of their head?
Come on, think about it. Anyway, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Name of the Rabbi." Much about others bringing the name of Rabbi Shimon Karcha. How do you know Lebal, a husband who's entitled to Yasha from his wife, but he only takes from his wife what she already has. But if she dies, and then a year later her father or mother dies, and she's supposed to Yasha them, then she goes to the children, not to the husband. She never says, "Uzgoiv hoyli des yoyiv." Goiv gave birth to yoyiv. Who had the who was the rich guy? Yoyiv. How does Yair own properties that didn't come from his father? Goiv married a woman. She predeceased her parents. And then her parents died. It didn't go to his Goiv, it went directly to Yair. Now that you can argue, who said that Yoyer's mother is the one who bequeathed him? Maybe it was Yoyer's wife who bequeathed him. So therefore, I'm bringing another pasuk. The laws have been Aaron made for and laws have now died. Menayin lepinchas shalhoyle laws. How does Pinchas own something that laws doesn't have? And to have two pasukim tell you the same story that was their wives. What do you need that for? Melamed shenosa laws at each. Laws the father married a woman. Vameisa bechayim moedisha. She predeceased her parents. Vameisa moedisha, and then her parents died. The Yosha Pinchas. And Pichas yashed it. How do we know that the second pasuk is talking about the mother? Now was Pichas' wife, but was Pichas' mother who bequeathed it? We'll see in a second.
Mother.
Well, my
how can he
yash his
stepmother?
Yeah, but we discounted that. Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha, but you learned something else. Previously, we learned Rabbi Shmuel learned from there. Rabbi Shmuel learned from there that the husband yashes his wife. And this is the mother. Yeah, the mother. Plus, remember, the papa slugged up the whole Rabbi Shmuel. We're remaining with the question. In the case of Yoyed, who said it was his mother, maybe it was his wife, and she died, and he yard in the Ashner, and therefore we don't have a second pasuk telling you the same story. Who said it was his wife? Maybe he got an entitlement as a kohen. Amakra benoi. It says in the pasuk benoi. It says that Givas Pinchas benoi. What's the emphasis of benoi? His son. You could just say because Pinchas. Everyone knows Pinchas loves a son. To tell you that it belonged to son, and I've learned the first line of Rashbam. Interesting. Nachla haruyu loy v'yosh benoi. A nachla that Elazar thought belonged to him. Loy doesn't refer to Pinchas. Loy refers to Elazar. Elazar thought it belonged to him, but no, it went to Pinchas. Why? Because Elazar's wife, but because she predeceased the parents. Bypassed him and went straight to the son. But the Rashbam, the first line of the Rashbam here, Nachla Haru, four lines to the bottom, Haru, five lines to the bottom. Haru Eloi Vyoshevnoi, Mashenitin Loi Bahara Frying Kamadai. We're learning from the word that says, Ashenitin Loi, the end of the passing, not from the word Benoi, but the end of the passing, Nitin Loi Bahara Frying, the Mashma Shebo Ladin. It was a Din Torah. Look at Gane, see, Rabbonim go to Din Torah. Elazar Pinchas, Elazar with the coin goggle. His son Pinchas was a pretty tough fellow. It had a Din Torah. Al iskei lushuzu. It was Pinchas' wife who died. Elazar's wife who died. Elazar tied into my property because it was a row at the time. And Pinchas said, "No, since it's only row, I'm entitled to it." They went in tighter. Fish has a ruyul elazar. It was raul elazar. The nasna bezel the pilchus benai. So they gave the pilchus the fish. Ain't about noich broke mukze. That was in tell the hand. Try to picture it. Well, if it's alive, what's it entailed about? Who's it go to after she died? She died first.
Right.
10 years later, her parents died.
Oh
yeah, that's right.
That's the lawyer because her father hadn't died.
That's exactly right. So picture this, they have a dentator here, so you see nothing wrong with going to dentator. If you have a dispute, there's a perfectly legitimate, people think maybe a dentator, it's a machlekes and the whole town has to get involved. There's nothing wrong with having two opinions, and you go to a third party to sort it out. This, if they would settle it, they wouldn't have gone to dentator, they would just sit down and work it out. This is a dentator, but nothing wrong with it. This is a kohen gadol, and then the kanoi, together they went to dentator. Yeah, and he won. Yeah, where's Kivit? Oh, everyone would call him what kind of lousy son he is in his Levite. Yeah. He got nothing.
No, what was his claim?
It's his wife. He yashes his wife. But his wife yashes her parents, even though his wife passed away right now, so it goes through her case. It's called Yerusha Bekever. It goes through her in the Kever. Now, I'm the one who yashes everything, my wife. And Pilcha said, you only yashen her the day she died, whatever she owned at that time.
So in other words, this was property that the father owned.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was personal property. Yeah, I thought all along that it was a
Nitzmalik. No.
So you're proving that the Enikel Yarshan is a Zayda.
Only by Rau, not by Muchzik. That means the husband is only entitled to get from his wife the day she passes away, whatever she owns outright then. That's what he gets. No, she happens. The mother died already. They died. This already, she died. Now there's a big estate involved. The mother died.
You're talking about the Zayda.
No, the father just died. The Zayda just died. Who yashes the Zayda now? Because at the time when his wife died, she was really entitled to it. But oh, every child is really is row. The moment you're born, you're already heir.
Yeah,
that's called row. That's what row means. That's what row. That's what row. Yeah. That's what the row means, yeah. Okay, back to the Gemara. Like a b'choy is not entitled to a double portion in row, only in muhzik, only what is there at the time of the father. If people owe him money, he gets no double in that. The Mishnah says, b'nei achoy. Speak machleik is a shiny, what exactly b'nei achoy means. Does it mean two sisters, yashi from the aunt? By the way, the Rashbam, he learned that way pshat in the beginning, but then he changed his mind, and over here he only learns the second pshat, which is, b'nei achoy means that their mother, two brothers of a mother, whose mother had a brother, and she was, there were no other brothers. So she was a sister of the person who died. So she yashin from the brother, the uncle. And now these two children are yashin from their uncle. Were they yashin from the uncle? But if they die, it doesn't go back to the uncle through the mother because it's only mishpachas of kru mishpachas of mishpachas zain. So Tanami learned, b'nei achayis v'loi b'nois achayis. The sons of the two sons of one girl, let's say Dina, but not the daughters of a girl. What do you mean not the daughters of a girl? Why not? They surely do. They surely yashin. If their mother yashes her brother, and then she only has daughters, of course they yashin. So what do you mean v'leib banas? I'm Rav Sheisha l'kadim, that there were sons and daughters, they don't get, only the sons get first. Tani Rav Shumar Rachim Nal Yitzchak Amei Rav Huna, v'yorash makish yirusha shni yirusha shayna. Just like the first stage we learn about Ben Kain Labas, every single stage after comes to uncle Ben Kain Labas. When it comes to grandfather Ben Kain Labas, and every single Yerusha that there is, if there are sons, the sons get first. If there are no sons, that's when the girl gets.
But is that if they're brothers and sisters, or if there's two sisters?
Talking about two brothers or two siblings from one mother or one parent.
If there are two sisters to the same.
So they're both Yashin. Then we don't care what their children are.
So they'll both get.
They're both Yashin. One has sons, one has daughters. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So if you look at them, you don't look down the next year.
Exactly. Exactly. So when Makis Yerusha Shniya Yerusha Shaina, so too the Shlisha Revi, and so on. Except by parents and children.
No, that's
okay. My Yerusha Shaina Ben Kaid and Labaz, just like the first Yerusha, the original initial of the parents. The son comes first, after the Shniya Ben Kaid and Labaz. Tony Rabba Bar Chanina Kamei Rav Nachman, Rabba Chanina Zalim for Rav Nachman. It says in Pasig, V'hoyu b'yoyim hanchile is born that he inherit bequeathed his children. As one of his children, before we go any further, it says in the pasuk, "Esa sheyeshle." I'll tell you a beautiful pshat once from a rav many years ago. He was talking to a very wealthy guy there. Came from a very miuchazik family, a family of rabbanim, but he came to America and he very very wealthy. But his children were like almost totally fried. They're very very modern. So there was some kind of a kiddush, I don't remember. So the Rebbe got up and he said the following verse, powerful verse. He says, "Says in the Torah here, 'Behoyah b'yoyim mechil banav when yashar children, eis asher yimatzloy.' Everything that you have. Obviously, you can only bequeath to your children what you have. If you don't have it, how can you give it to them? You need the Torah to tell you, 'Eis asher yimatzloy,' everything that you have. You should just say, 'Behoyah b'yoyim mechil banav,' the day you inherit, you bequeath to your children. We know exactly what you're bequeathing, not someone else's stuff." So the pshat like this. He said, "There's an attitude. The people who came from Russia. He was this guy from Russia. People come from Eastern Europe and they came to America. They said, and I heard this myself, even now, 'I am going to give to my children everything that I didn't have. I never had a car. They'll have a car. I never flew on a plane till I was 40. They're going to fly on a plane at the age of 10. I never went to college. They'll go to college. And I never had this and everything.' So the Tater says, that's very nice. Everything you never had, you give to your children. What about what you did have? You had a cheder, you had a Shabbos, you had a yontif, you had fabrengens. Why don't you give them what you also had? Don't only give them what you didn't have." Anyway, let's continue. The day that you inherit your children, what do you mean by day? Why by day? It sounds like so he said, by day you bequeath the iatamapul nachlo, but not by night. Abaya, you didn't misunderstood. If a person dies by day, who the yarti le bnei, that's when his children will inherit him. And man the shochi b'layla, if a person dies at night, lo yarti le bnei, and his children will not inherit him. What does that mean? Everything somebody said, no, maybe Dilma, maybe what the Rabbi Bar Chanina actually meant was din nachlis ka'amrit. Maybe he meant the din of Yerusha, because a Yerusha is not like just a division of Shutvim. A Yerusha is a din, and a din you have to have a bezdin and so on, and a bezdin only performs by day. At least the case starts only by day. How do I know? We'll see in a minute. Yes.
Also, it might say he wouldn't give you all you have, because you may only want to give him half of what you have. So it says all you have.
Okay, maybe another shot. Good. And what do you do with the rest when you die? Take it with you.
You got the contract.
That's true, yeah? He took his children with him also. He took everybody with him.
make fancy
tachrichim
and a fancy coffin.
But we have a takana, a moikotna. Rabbi says simple tachrichim. What, tachrichim fancy?
They used to have with gold and brocade, yeah. You know, golden woven.
You're talking about, before Rabbi Gamliel?
Yeah, before the takana.
Yeah, okay. You're talking about Rabbi Gamliel, you're talking about 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. The time we learned... How do you know that it's considered a din? It should be by the Eden as a chukah mishpat. It refers to the whole idea of a Yerusha, and it calls it chukas mishpat. Din Torah. The entire Pasha concludes that you should know that Nachalais is actually like a din Torah. And meaning of what? We have a concept called, okay, so you need a bezin and everything distributed. You have a concept called Ein Eid Nasa Dain. That if you're a witness, it cannot be a Dain. Big Machlek is Rashi, Rashbam, and Tosis, whether what's the definition of a witness? According to Tosis, only Eid Hameid cannot be a Dain. If you came to court and you testify, you can no longer be the judge. Obviously, you're no longer objective. But if you saw it, even if you intended to be a witness, no problem. But the Rashbam and Rashi hold Eid Hamazumin. If you just intended, Eid Hamachavin, if you just intended to be a witness, you can no longer to be a Dain. But if you happen to see with no intentions of ever testifying, then you can be a dime. So it says the following. Omer Rav Yehuda, said, Shloisha shenichnu shulavak is a choylev. Three people come to visit a sick person who's dying. Now he's starting to say how I'm planning to distribute my wealth. This by this, and this by this, and this and this. Rotsu, they have a choice. They can either be Edim or they can be Dayani. Rotsu, they prefer Kaisvin, they write it down. The moment they write it down, that means the intention is to be a witness. They can no longer be a dying. They can no longer hear the case. Rotsu, but if they want, they don't write anything down. They can become the bezin. I, whether they aid him, they don't need it. How can it be if I hear from two fremde people, I wasn't there, and I can rule based on them? If I myself saw it, surely I can base on it. Shnayim koisvim, but two people, since two people can never be a bezin, so they write vein oisindin, and they write because they're aidim. When do we say that this thing here that you can be a dayin, that if you have a choice? Either to write or to be a dayin is by day. Avo belayla, by night. Afilu shloisha, even three. We'll have an option being a bezin. Kaisin, you cannot be a bezin at night. Because at night, you cannot start a din Torah. We learn from this pasuk here. Beinoisin din, my timer. Yeah, and why can't then the following morning then go ahead and rule based on what they saw last night? Oh, because now they're only aiding. They didn't paskin straight away, they're paskin tomorrow. So you need aiding. So they're going to be the aiding. My time with the Havalayim, they're the aiding. But what it could be is
any one of these Edim that Rashbam says, which Tosfos argues, any one of these Edim can then become the Dayan tomorrow and get other Edim, even though they had a mind to be Ned. As long as they're not ruling on their own Edim, they're ruling, even though they know the story, if two other Edim come in, or if one of them comes in aid of somebody else and the other two become Dayanim, there's no problem. So he said to him, so Rabbi Bachina said, it's exactly what I intended, what I meant. We had that in Rosh Hashanah.
And he comes and he sits next day, but the Edim comes.
We had a Mishnah. We had a Mishnah. It says that two people can sit down next to you and they can join you.
Despite the fact that you were preparing yourself as an Edim, because you just happened to walk.
Okay. So the Rambam says the Rambam learned so long as Rambam said, but that's what he learned. He learned that they just happened to see.
So that's what I'm saying.
Sanhedrin Shiro. It all means they happen to see.
Exactly.
They could be the Dayanim if they can hear from other Edim, not from their own.
Okay.
And they could. Okay, we'll stop here.
Doesn't that show you?
Tomorrow's blast is a short blast. But come on time.